Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
A long time ago, in the eastern town of Jericho, there was a baby born to a family. He was a beautiful baby, and the name his parents gave him meant son of honor. He was the parents' prize, and they could not stop talking about him to their friends for the first month anyway. And then the parents noticed that something was different about him. And soon his parents were no longer rejoicing. Rather than honor, they felt like a curse had been put on them. That they asked themselves again and again, what sin did we commit that God would punish us with a son like this? And as the boy grew up, his parents viewed him mostly as a burden, and the community thought of him as some kind of sign that the parents must have committed some sin that God had punished them like this. The boy's name was Bartimaeus, and the problem was that he was born blind, which back in that time was considered a curse from God. As an adult, he joined a community of beggars on the outskirts of that town of Jericho, and they would help each other to survive. But as much as Bartimaeus appreciated the friendship of this group, he knew that God had the power to heal him, and so why didn't God do it? I mean, he wished the same wish day after day, but nothing ever changed. This was his miserable existence. We'll talk more about that guy in a minute, but first I want to tell you another story. It's another true story. About 100 years ago, the British were building a railway from a town called Mombasa in Kenya on the east, and it was going to go to another town called Kisumu on Lake Victoria out west. Everyone in English called it the Lunatic Express. Who would be crazy enough to build a railroad through the jungles of Africa? When the workers, mostly from India and called coolies, got to the town of Tsavo, about 130 miles from Mombasa, they encountered a very difficult challenge. Lions, two of them. And these lions had gotten a taste of human flesh, and they now hungered for it. Colonel Patterson was the on-site leader of this operation, and at first, Patterson was skeptical that lions were to blame for his missing crew workers, but once he found the remains of several of them outside of their camp, he believed. The lions were killing about one worker per week. Patterson had an idea. He could protect his workers by building a boma around their camp. A boma is a thick, thorny bush, but somehow the lions managed to get through it and continued to kill and eat people. Soon the lions got bolder and bolder, and they were killing almost a worker per day. They would take the worker, drag him outside the camp, and the other workers could hear their friend being eaten, the bones being crushed just outside the camp. Why couldn't they just kill the lions? Well, the lions would always come in the middle of the night, and it was dark. There are not lights in Kenya, and so the people could only see a few feet, and they would always shoot at the lions, and they were shooting in the right direction, but they could never quite hit their target. The workers started to think that they must be dealing with demons in lion form. Well, eventually, Patterson himself killed the two lions. The second one had to be shot several times before finally it died. And because of the lion's great cunning and stealth, the Indian workers nicknamed those lions the Ghost and the Darkness, which is the name of the movie that was made about them. Michael Douglas, Val Kilmer. So a friend of mine named Toby one time was in Kenya in that very area where that happened, and he went on a safari with his family, and the safari guide was a native of Kenya, and so they're going and they're seeing buffalo and antelope and elephants, and somebody asked about lions because they had seen a lion, and they asked the question. They said, do lions ever kill people? And this Kenyan guide said, it happens rarely. But if a lion kills a person, that lion will not last long. Somebody asked, what do you mean? Why wouldn't the lion last long? And the guide said, once a lion kills a human, everyone in the area will all join together and hunt him until he dies. Because once a lion has a taste for human blood, he will kill again and again and again. He is hungry for man, and he will not stop until he dies. When Toby told me that, when he is hungry for man, he will not stop until he dies. That sentence fascinated me. It has stuck with me now for years because I want it to be able to be said of me, Vince, he is hungry for God and he will not stop until he dies. We're in this new teaching series, When God Shows Up, which is terminology sometimes Christians use for those moments when it just feels like God's presence is so real and so obvious. It might be a moving experience in worship, or it might be the majesty of nature, and it just feels like, whoa, God just showed up. The truth is that God does not occasionally show up. He is always there. But in this series, we're talking about what does God want to do when he shows up in our lives? And today I want to tell you that when God shows up, the hungry are satisfied. I want to talk about hunger, the kind of hunger that we need to have for God. Not the kind that eats and is satisfied, but the kind that feasts and still wants more. Now, people sometimes will compare the hunger that we have for food to the kind of hunger that we need to have for God. I don't know. That may work in parts of the world where people truly are hungry. But man, we all have stocked refrigerators and food in our pantry and a McDonald's down the street. And so though we may say we're hungry, I'm starving, really we don't have much experience with real hunger. I mean, it's different from other parts of the world, the kind of hunger that people experience. It's different from the kind of hunger that we're told in the Bible we should have for God. Our hunger for God needs to feel more like a sense of desperation, like the bloodlust of those lions, like the longing for food of Somalian children who will scurry and search through scraps of trash, hoping to find just a morsel to eat. Or the desperation of a dehydrated person crawling through the desert who will resort to drinking their own urine to satisfy their thirst. Or I think of a heroin addict who is always desperate for more of what he's addicted to. And so he'll do anything. He will steal. He will betray his own family for this thing that he craves and feels he needs. It's that same sort of desperation that we need to have for God. The kind that is never satisfied and always wants more. Why? Right? Why? Why do we need to have that kind of hunger for God? Well, because nothing else in life is ever going to make us feel full. Now, I think in our more honest moments, we all sense this emptiness inside of us. There is this hunger in us for something. And so we look to success, popularity, money, possessions, love. But have you noticed yet that it does not fill us, right? We get the success. We get the friends, the spouse, the better job, the promotion. We get a faster car, a bigger house, nicer stuff, and it's good. It's fun. Yay. And then we're still hungry. We realize we're still missing something. We thought that this thing was going to fill us, but it didn't. And then what we tend to think is, well, I guess what I need then is more. And so we get more of that same thing, and that doesn't fill us. And so we think, well, I guess I need even more. No, the problem is that this emptiness is in our soul, and nothing is going to fill it but God. We were made to live our lives in relationship with God, to live our lives in the love of God, and nothing less is ever going to satisfy us. Here's what God tells us in the Bible. We'll put all the Bible's verses on the screen today. God says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God has planted eternity in the human heart. God has planted eternity in the human heart. God made us for something bigger and something better than this world. He put eternity in our hearts. That's what separates humans, right? Like, think of a cat. A cat can lay around all day, occasionally maybe play with a string, right? And a cat can for its entire life be very content laying there and occasionally playing with a string. A cat will never ask, what am I really doing with my life? I'm kind of disappointed in myself. I mean, I don't feel like I'm growing much as a cat. I need to figure out what I'm missing. Why do I exist? Is this really all there is? Meow, right? A cat never says that. That will never happen. Why? Because God did not plant eternity in a cat's heart. But he did in mine, and he did in yours. He put eternity in our hearts. That's why we can never be satisfied with what this world offers us, no matter how much of it we get. God made us for something bigger and something better than this world. He made us for him. That's why we feel like something is missing, and that longing we have should lead us to God. We need to be hungry for God. And I'm not just talking to those who don't have a relationship with God yet. I'm also talking to those of us who do. I mean, it is a real hunger for God that will draw us closer to him, that will fill our lives with him, and that will allow us to rise above half-hearted Christianity. You know, I talk to some Christians who say, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe... I'm just not as into it as some people are, you know, like I believe in Jesus, all of it, but I'm not that into like reading my Bible or praying or going to church every week or serving. And if you ask that person, they will admit that they feel bored with their life, that they feel kind of unfulfilled and they wonder what's missing in their life. Why? Well, that person might be a Christian, but they're not living the Christian life. Because the Christian life is about being hungry for God. A survey was done a couple years ago, asked Christians in America, do you agree with this statement? Do you agree with this statement? To be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. 72% of Christians said yes. No. To be fulfilled in life, you should pursue Jesus. Jesus said that we need to seek God above everything else. That's what comes first in a Christian's life. And if not, we're still going to feel kind of empty. And if not, what's missing from our life is hunger, a hunger for God. So let's talk about hunger, okay? And I want us to think more about this guy, Bartimaeus. We're going to read his story. It's in the Bible in Mark chapter 10. By the way, we give out free Bibles at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. If you don't have a Bible at home, we would love to give one to you today. So Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. It says, then they is Jesus and his little entourage of his best friends, his disciples, his ministry apprentices. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, which means teacher, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You know, the story of Bartimaeus is fascinating to me. It's powerful, I think, because this is a guy who proves the point that when God shows up, the hungry are satisfied. And Bartimaeus demonstrates to us what a hungry person looks like and what they will do because of their hunger. Can you visualize a scene? So Bartimaeus and his buddies are like sitting on the side of the road. They're a bunch of beggars. That's where they sit every day. They hope people come by. They ask them for money. And there's this commotion. People are starting to line the streets. And so Bartimaeus is sitting there. He doesn't know what's going on. He can't see it because he's blind. And so he says, "Excuse me, what's happening? What's happening? Who's coming?" And someone says, "It's Jesus." Well, Bartimaeus is like, "Jesus. He's the one I've been hearing about. I've heard about him. People say he's God's son, that he has the power to do miracles, to heal." So Bartimaeus jumps to his feet and he jumps up and down and he's yelling, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Why son of David? We actually talked about this last week. Son of David was a reference to a prophecy in the Old Testament that the Savior God was going to send for his people would be from the family line of David. So Bartimaeus is saying, I am blind, but I recognize who you are. You are the one that God promised he'd send to save us. If you weren't here last week, we talked about evidence for Jesus, how we can believe with our brains that Jesus really is Son of God, Savior of the world. And if you miss it, you can listen to or watch that on the Verve app or the Verve website. So he's yelling, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And some guy is like, "Dude, he's still like a half mile down the road. He can't hear you." And Bartimaeus is like, I don't care. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me and have mercy on me." And some lady's like, "He's coming from the other way." And he's like, "Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And listen, when you're hungry, you will do whatever it takes to fill your hunger, right? And men have crawled miles across the desert for a chance of a cup of water. People cross the Atlantic from Ireland all because they ran out of potatoes. Wars have been fought because of hunger. When you are truly hungry, you will do whatever it takes to be filled. With blind Bartimaeus, Jesus did not respond to his first cry. So did Bartimaeus just give up and go back to begging? Was he like, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me"? No. Anybody got a quarter? You know, did he just give up? No, that's not what happened. He just kept crying out over and over, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He was going to do whatever it took to have his hunger satisfied by God. And that's what it's like to be hungry for God. When you're hungry, you get up early in the morning to spend time with God. When you're hungry, it doesn't matter if you're tired. You're up. You're reading the Bible, you're praying because you want to be filled with God. When you're hungry, you show up at church every single week. You had a bad week, you're having a bad hair day. It doesn't matter. I'm going to church because I will do whatever it takes to fill myself with God. And man, I think that we need to ask God for that kind of hunger. I know that I need to ask God for that kind of hunger. You know what else? When you're hungry, you don't care what anyone else thinks. So Bartimaeus is calling out to Jesus, and "Jesus, Son of David," and it says many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but it says he shouted out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't care what anyone thought. Have you ever known somebody, maybe like when you were a kid, who would do anything for money? Did you have that kid in your like set of friends or your class? He would provide the entertainment when you were bored. Like maybe his name was, I'm just gonna guess here, Willie. And so you and your friends would be bored and you'd say, "Hey, Willie, eat that worm." He's like, "I'm not gonna eat a worm." And you're like, "Give you a nickel." And he'd be like, "Let me have that." And he'd eat it. And we're like, "Oh, gross." Or you'd be like, "Man, I'm bored. What should we, you know, hey, Willie, wet your pants." "I'm not gonna wet my pants." "Give you 50 cents, make it 75. You gotta, oh, he did it, right? He would do anything for money. He didn't care what anyone else thought. He wanted that money. Yeah, and that's what Bartimaeus was like. He's shouting out to Jesus, and people are like, "Dude, shut up. Don't bug him. He's important. You're not. You are a zero. He's the hero." Bartimaeus is like, "Forget you. Jesus, I'm over here. There's a blind guy over here. I need healing over here." Listen, people are really hungry for God. Not only will they do whatever it takes, they don't care what anyone else thinks. I became a Christian when I was in college. I was 20 years old, completely non-Christian background. And I was working a movie theater, like part-time college job, and I was working one day with a guy named Bill. He would like sweep the theaters together, and we're sweeping and talking, and Bill sitting real close to me at this point, and he says, "Hey, what bands do you like?" Like, we're just getting to know each other. And I was like, "Oh." And I named like three bands, and he nodded. And then the fourth band I named was sort of a Christian band. And he started cursing me out. He's like, "You effing P and Q." He knew lots of creative, he knew curse words that start with P and Q. And he just started like cursing at me. And I'm like, "This is weird. Like, why? What is going on?" But at the same time, I had this thought. If he feels that way about me because I love God, I'm okay with this. And it was kind of a cool moment for me as a new Christian. Listen, when you're truly hungry for God, you just stop caring what other people think. Like when you're really hungry, man, if we're praying, you are focused on God. If we're singing worship songs to God, you are focused on God, even if everyone else isn't. Even if it's like, "I'm a little weird because I take this a little bit more seriously than there." You don't care, but because you just want to connect with him. When you're hungry for God, you share your faith with people who don't know him because he told you to and because you can't not talk about him. He's such a big part of your life. Hunger says, "I just don't care what anyone thinks. I am going to touch God today." But does hunger say that in your heart today? We need to ask God for that kind of hunger. Also, when you're hungry and you know exactly what you want, but like with Bartimaeus, he knew what he wanted, right? He wanted to see. The kind of hunger that we're talking about today, it has a cry. It has a cry. Bartimaeus cried out, "God, I just want to see. Jesus, I just want to see." And I wonder, what is the cry of your heart today? Like, are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for God to do a miracle in your life? Maybe it's a friend you have, and that friend is struggling, and you just want your friend to know Jesus the way you've come to know Jesus. You want it so bad for them. What are you hungry for? What is the cry of your heart? Unfortunately, some of us have just kind of settled in life, and so we're just hungry for more stuff, the next vacation, our friend's acceptance, maybe finally getting love from the opposite sex, or maybe you're at a place where you just feel so dead inside and so apathetic that you're really not hungry for anything. What are you hungry for? My prayer today is that we would leave here, no matter how we walked in, that we would leave here hungry for God. You know why? It's because of something else that we learn in this story. When God shows up, the hungry are satisfied. Listen, hunger stirs the heart of God. And the Bible says that just as an earthly father would feed his hungry child, our heavenly Father cannot refuse a child of his who is hungry for him. When my son, who's now like a teenager, when he was 3 years old, he was the cutest 3-year-old kid in the world. I'm not biased. I actually brought proof with me. Can we all agree, right? Cutest kid. It was sad, though. He did do a little bit of time in prison. He had this thing when he was 3 years old and cute and not in prison, and he had this thing that he would say, and he would say it in a very certain way, and he said it felt like 20 times a day. He would look up at me and he would say, "Daddy, I'm hungry," over and over again. "Daddy, I'm hungry." Have you ever had a ridiculously cute 3-year-old look at you with big eyes and say, "Daddy, I'm a hungry"? Like, for reals, if the only food we had was 4,000 miles away and I had to crawl across like shattered glass to get to it, I would have, because he's my kid and he's hungry. How could I say no to that? And God is the same way. He loves you so much. And when someone looks up at him with big eyes and says, "Daddy, I'm hungry," his heart melts. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you think about yourself, he loves you and his heart melts, and he always responds to hunger. Like, he will respond today to the person in this room who looks up and says, "Daddy, I am hungry." He will show up for that. And when God shows up, the hungry are satisfied. But you know what else? The opposite is true as well. It's the last thing I want to share with you today, and it's this. If you aren't hungry, you will be passed by. If you aren't hungry, you'll be passed by. I mean, think about it, right? There had to be at least a dozen other beggars outside of Jericho that same day. There were people there who were lame, couldn't use their legs. There were people there who were missing limbs. There were people there who were deaf. There were other blind people. Bartimaeus wasn't the only one. But none of their stories are in the Bible. You know why? Because their stories went something like this. Jesus, the healer, passed by today. Bartimaeus cried out and was healed. I didn't, and Jesus passed me by. Why? Because if you aren't hungry for Jesus, he will pass you by. Because he's never going to force himself on you. He won't. Bartimaeus asked the crowd, "What's happening?" And their response was, "Jesus is passing you by." And here's the truth. Jesus is passing you by today. Jesus wasn't planning on stopping to heal a blind guy that day. If Bartimaeus had stayed silent, his next day would have been the same as his last day. Nothing would have changed. Jesus would have just passed him by. I mean, that was the story of every other beggar in Jericho that day. That is the story of most people. And that can be your story as well. It would have been Bartimaeus' story, but something welled up inside of him, this hunger. And he was like, "Jesus, please, please don't pass me by. Please don't pass me by." You know, I don't think God changes his mind much, but he will respond to your hunger. He will change his course to meet you if you are really hungry. He will show up and he will satisfy your hunger. And so my challenge for you today is to make a choice to be hungry for God, for his presence, for more of him in your life. We have some people who are getting baptized after each service today. Baptism is when you're saying, "God, I'm giving my life to you." And these people are saying, "God, I'm hungry. I want more of you in my life." Listen, if you have that hunger, if you're like, "I've got it," cry out to him. And if you don't have that hunger, cry out to him and ask him for it. Ask him for it. I want to give you a chance to do just that, just a little time to pray, to cry out to God. We also, during this time, have communion available. It's on the candlelit tables around the room, and communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given for us on the cross. And it's a reminder, every time we take it, that what we are hungry for is God. That what we need to be hungry for is God. That he is the only thing, as I take him in, he is the only thing that can ever really fill me up. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to give you a chance to pray. And if you'd like, you can get up during the time, and you can get communion when you're ready to do that. We're going to have one last song that we're going to do together, and we're gonna cry out to God. Okay, so let's do that together, and then we'll give you time to do that. Let's pray. God, it's impossible for me to know where everyone in this room is at right now. And here's my guess. My guess is that we have some people who right now, this whole time, they're like, yes, this is me. I feel like Bartimaeus. I'm hungry. I want God. I want more of him. I want to know him more. I want to feel his love more. And so, God, would you fill us? When people are hungry, you show up and they are satisfied. God, we probably have some people in this room who believe in you and show up at church sometimes at least, but there's really not a hunger there. And I think we all go through times like that. And so that's no crime. But God, we need to be hungry for you. If not, we will be hungry for other things and they will never fill us. Or we will just become apathetic and just lose any kind of lust for life. God, would you give us that hunger for you? Maybe we have some people who, this is their first time in church and who knows how long, and they're just kind of checking things out. I think showing up here shows a hunger, that there's a sense of, I need something else, something different, something better than what I have. God, would you help us to see that hunger we have is for you? Don't pass us by. God, come closer. We want to be closer to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.